Lady from Day is an original novel adapted for radio. Lady from Day is written and produced by April Sadowski.
It was morning when I awoke to the sound of grisly whispers. I looked to my right. The group of sleeping men assured me that I was the only one to notice the voices nearby. A chill in the air gave me goosebumps. I smelled a strange odor, one that I've never known of. There could only be one creature to fulfill my suspicions, the Gorlag. The Gorlag is a creature I don't know much about. They are human, but not quite. Their skin is greenish and their bodies are broad and muscular. Their hair has many shades, most common of which is orange, green, or silver. I'd only heard about them from others, and from what I heard, they were foul creatures with hardly any respect for life or cleanliness. In this case, unfortunately, I had heard more than one talking. A solid wave of confidence in my hypothesis urged me to be silent. I knew that if I was silent, I wouldn't make myself known to the Gorlags, for they do not possess keen hearing. I had to wake my comrades if I wished to assure my safety. If they woke before I got to them, they wouldn't know the danger. They might call out, catching the attention of the Gorlags. Siegfried was the closest to me, so I woke him first. His nut-brown hair had glided over his eyes when he slept. I gently brushed it off with one hand, and then I moved my hand down to his mouth. I covered his mouth with that hand, and with the other I nudged him. He jumped awake, but didn't say anything due to the fact that I kept his mouth quiet with my hand.
Say nothing, for men's voices are loud and deep. I fear that Gorlags are about. I think I can hear them. Listen.
This is the second time, you know. He can't be having this. Mistress will be angry if she isn't all right.
The sound of scratchy-throated Gorlags echoed to our position. I couldn't tell if they were getting closer or not, but I didn't want to take the chance. Sig nodded again. He spoke to me, but without speaking. His mouth moved, but no words came out. Yet I understood what he was saying. I could read his lips in my mind. The words formed. Siegfried told me in his silent speech.
We must wake the others. This will be dangerous.
You are right. You and I need to go and wake up the others. But you cannot speak.
It's all right. They know how to read my lips. I taught them how last year when you left to go on that journey of self-discovery, or something like that.
Oh, so that's how they amuse themselves.
I said this, though not amused. The corners of his mouth turned up in a cocky smile. I couldn't help returning the same. I edged him on with a wave of my hand, and we headed toward the men. I couldn't forget last year. That was when I began to feel as if my life had no purpose, so I decided to travel out of Valisonia to find myself. In the end, I realized that no one could possibly tell me what I was to do with my life, and neither could I. I couldn't find it. I just had to know. It was on that journey that I heard about the princess. Then I knew that helping the princess was what I was supposed to do. The men woke up easily. Sig was very useful. I am glad that I woke him first. Since he could talk without speaking, it made things safer. Slowly, we walked toward the voices. Large fir trees blocked most of our view, but their needles were easy enough to move. Their rich pine scent overcame the nasty odor of the Gorlags. The discomfort from their presence lowered as we could breathe easier.
So, she'll be here within the hour?
I watched the Gorlags. Their green skin and slimy pine-colored hair. Their bulbous noses twitched as they spoke.
Yes, that I am sure. We have secured that area and she cannot escape. Day isn't safe this time.
Let's go then.
I could barely see them leave, but as they did, I realized they weren't talking about me. I wonder who they are talking about.
Honestly, I have no idea, but I have a hunch that we shall find out eventually.
We decided to follow the Gorlags, at a distance, to try and see where they went. Obviously, if they were securing the area so a person wouldn't escape, the person must be close and either very important, or very valuable. We didn't get too far because the Gorlags decided to trek through the river hither. The river starts with sundering ends, with a forest skirting along the side of it, so we had plenty of cover. The tracks we were following disappeared under the current of the Clear River. We chose, after losing the Gorlags, to continue to look for a cure for the princess. We had to turn around and eventually came upon a stately rider who wore a dark purple hooded mantle. The horse was elegantly dressed in chainmail with a velvet overcoat. The horse's face was armored. I couldn't tell from my angle if the rider had armor as well. At any cost, it definitely wasn't a Gorlag.
Who goes there?
The rider removed his hood, revealing a charming, delicately groomed face, with just the faint hint of a mustache and some reddish stubble on his chin. His deep brown eyes were woven with warmth. His dark hair was cropped short, but not overly so. He hadn't been wearing a whole suit of armor, it would seem. He just had a light mail covering underneath a velvet overcoat that matched that of his horse. It was emblazoned with the crest of the House of Faerus. He had a longsword attached to a belt, and he replied, gripping it.
My name is Rowan, prince of the land of Faerus, and a former ambassador to the land of Kyrie. Who might I be addressing?
I am Leah Yovar of Dwivene in the land of Alisonia, and I have been charged with the task of curing your sister, the Princess Dashiell. He chuckled to himself and turned his horse. He then waved his hand behind himself. Suddenly, a sizable force emerged from the trees. They were on foot and armed with bows and short swords. There were a few random pikemen in their midst as well. I wondered to myself the reason for him coming through the deadly swamp, and I was even more curious to the reason why he brought armed men with him. I noticed in amusement that several of those men were caked in sticky sand.
Pardon me for surprising you like that, milady. I was sent to follow you. If your party was in any danger, then it was to come to your aid. It was Dashiell's idea, actually. I had just arrived home, and she told me there was a new interest in her predicament. We both wanted you to be successful, and since no one had ventured this close to the Gorlag territory for years, we decided it was a good idea for me to follow you. Since she had such a strong hunch that you would uncover the cure, she really wanted you to survive this ordeal. We never had anyone search for the cure in an anti-spell since my late mother, so that makes your accomplishments even more important. But you certainly are not what I had expected when Dashiell told me about you.
What I didn't know is that you'll be so becoming.
I don't know what to say, Your Highness. I could sense that Seg knew Rowan was complimenting me when he lifted his brow and gave me a silly grin. There was nothing I could do to counteract the prince's remark. I just made my expression serious and leaned against the nearby tree and looked into the hither. I got straight down to business. What do you propose to do now, since we know what you were sent to do?
Well, I suppose I will have to accompany you then, if that's all right with you, milady. I would hate to be a disappointment to my darling little sister. If you want to rest, I suggest you go to the Varavin. It borders the Gorlag, but it is a heavy guarded area. You will be safe there. They have two large guard towers, one at the entrance and one at the exit. The town itself is also decently sized, and I think that would be at least the best place to start, if you were to do anything. And hey, who knows what you'll hear in therein? A lot of weird folk are always coming through there. It's also near enough to the Kalos that if we needed to go there, we could go as well. Although I would consider that as a very last resort, of course.
I suppose that War Orwin is where we will go then. I was planning on sleeping out here, but after our run with the Gorlags, I'd rather stay in a town. I'm glad you are here, because you know the region. Since I'm a foreigner, I don't know all of the towns.
It comes with the job. I don't have much of a choice, really. I get moved back and forth from one uprising to another problem. I don't really mind it, though, to be honest. I get presents for my travels, and I give them to my father's court. So when I get home, it's like the day of the winter feast. It's probably about the one thing that my sister has to look forward to. Dashiell. She has wanted to play music for so long, but I haven't found anything to suit her yet. But I'm determined to find something before I get back, though, which hopefully will be before the real feast. I know it will all be a little odd, but I'm sure in one of the villages we might encounter, we'd find something for her. Maybe even in Varavin.
Where's this town?
It's quite close, on the other side of the river, about a 2 days' journey from here. There's a bridge a half a mile that way, and as long as we don't encounter the Gorlak, we should be on an easy track.
That is good to know. As we were nearing the Hither Bridge, we started to enter a large wooded area. The old leaves crunched beneath my feet. The sky overhead was ribbed with webs of branches as the trees embraced each other. The river was getting wider, and soon we came upon the bridge. Fortunately, the Gorlaks weren't there, so we crossed easily. Once we came over the bridge, we could see a vast line of snow-peaked mountains. Cradled in the valley was the town we had been heading towards. I could see that Rowan was right about their defenses. Not only were there towers connected by large stone walls, but the whole town was surrounded by a moat. Only a vast drawbridge on either side allowed travelers inside.
We journeyed down the forest path to the town. We almost stumbled into an unlikely arrival. The Gorlaks of earlier today were here. They talked to each other in the low, scruffy voice of theirs. We silently listened to their conversation.
She has been secured. Nightpack Limgris has her in a dungeon. We have upped our defenses so she cannot escape like before.
Good. Then let us proceed to the keep.
What do you think they are up to?
I have no idea. But whoever is at that keep is surely there due to force. She is certainly not a willing guest. I think after we rest in Varavin, we should try to find out who this woman is, and whether she is a friend or a foe.
How are we to get in?
Well, it is said that the Gorlaks of Krakash take human servants to work for them. I think we shall be able to sneak in and pretend we are working in the kitchen. And then we could try to serve food to the prisoner and find out who she is. Of course, we need to find this keep first.
Haha, Lee? Let me ask you something. Why are we listening to him? And, more importantly, why are you listening to him? Why is this person so important? You know, that little thing we've been looking for? What was it called again? Oh yes, the cure. How is going to a Gorlak-controlled keep going to help us out? Lee, for once, you aren't thinking with your head.
I'm listening to him because this female they imprisoned could be the key to unlocking the mystery of Dashiell. You know that the Gorlaks are benefiting from the starvation in Faerus. Perhaps she knows something, and the Gorlaks are keeping her so she can't tell people like us or Rowan's father. The Gorlaks are getting people from this land to go to them because they have food and we do not. It is only logical that they want this to continue. Some people are willing to be slaves for food. It is horrible, you know. Sig, why can't you have a little faith?
I am gonna have to be honest with you, Lee. I believe you are being drawn to that conclusion because, and only because, Rowan has poisoned you with his looks and charm.
It's Rowan, not Rowan! Siegfried Jeffrey Hollander, that was uncalled for. I don't care what you think, but know this, I've never made decisions based on someone's charm. On the subject of looks, you can go back to Alisonia if you think that I will be led by something as trivial as that. Well, unless someone else has anything clever to say, I suggest we move on toward Moir-Awyn to find the keep. The hours passed slowly as we were on foot and couldn't travel at a fast pace, save Rowan, who rode on his horse, quite comfortably, in fact. We were getting quite hungry, and so we all stopped to scavenge what was available. Mushrooms. What else? How can your people tell the difference between edible and poisonous mushrooms?
Well, it's fairly simple, actually. Most depends on what they look like. If it looks flat on top with a long stem with white gills, it's usually poisonous. Also, all those little brown ones you see, they are poisonous too. And I'm sure you've seen morels. Well, false morels look like the regular ones, except the bottom of the cap looks like a skirt, and it doesn't have the pitch and ridges like the true one. I have been told that the evils in that particular mushroom can be driven off if it's cooked thoroughly enough. I wouldn't risk my life on it, though. Unfortunately, some of my people do. I can't wait till the day when I don't have to do such things anymore. We try to educate the people as much as we can, and their pigs they use to search for troubles are all but gone due to Dazzle. The number of wild animals for feasting is dwindling. I hope to be able to introduce some sort of creature from Kairi, and I'm sure the Fenarians would assist too, given their alliance with us. I really like to be able to offer more to them. Money is getting to be worthless, and I'm afraid that the people will get to the point where they are so desperate they will try to mutiny against my father. On the bright side, my father's family has always been known as the rulers of the land, more so than the people. We give them very few guidelines and rule with a mother at hand. Happy people are always more productive.
After Rowan finished talking, we got lucky and found some mulberries to eat as well. I really prefer the taste of raspberry to mulberry, but it was better than just eating mushrooms. These mushrooms didn't have much juice because the woods we were in were dry, so they didn't have a lot of moisture. They got the job done, and after we were all satisfied, we continued. Nightfall came more quickly than I was used to. We had walked so long and hard and cautiously, so as not to get into any Gorlag entanglements, that I completely lost track of time. We decided to make camp in the forest, but we all stayed high in the trees so the Gorlags wouldn't attack us at night. I was a bit wary to make the tree climb because there were no obvious footholds. I had to use some rope to give myself the proper leverage. Then, once I found a limb, I wrapped the rope around myself and it so I wouldn't fall off when sleeping. I know we all felt a little safer this time. Rowan's men weren't equipped with rope, so they used their belts to wrap around the trees. They just had to get higher up where the trunk was thinner in some cases. It was a good thing they had longsword belts. The pikemen had a bit worse time trying to get up, so some of my men dropped their ropes for them to climb up. The archers had their belts, which they used to hold arrows, fire threads. When needed, the fire threads are like rope, but they smolder for lighting fire arrows, and short swords. The archers had no trouble getting into the trees because they had been used to it in some forest warfare training. At least I suppose they had training, unless they just liked climbing trees when they were children. That is at least something you don't forget how to do. When we woke up the next morning, we were all fairly stiff. My neck was hurting from sleeping in the same position. I tried to hug the tree as best I could, but it was a tree, of course. The rope, at least, had held firm around myself and the tree. When we were all ready to leave, those with ropes made a sort of pulley system, to where we didn't exactly tie the rope to the tree branch and come down from the rope. The archers, who were more adept at tree climbing, got on the ground. We swung one end on the other side of the branch to make an upside-down U with the rope. The archers would put all their weight on one side of the rope, and another man would use the other end to start descending down. Once everyone was safely on the ground, we decided to keep moving instead of looking for food, so we could have a decent meal in Mhuire Ar Wyn. The river hither led us down into a valley in the midday, where the tops of chimneys peeked out over their houses to spy on us. The pass down to the village was steep, so Rowan got off his horse to walk it down. There was no good in getting himself or the animal injured. The dirt path, which was narrow at first, widened to accommodate a large number of travellers. It was midday when we neared the town. We could see shoppers busily moving in the stores. A plump woman entered a store accompanied by a small child. She exited with a large basket of bread, the heat visibly rising off the newly baked dough. The scent of food reached our noses, the clang of pints and the rich chuckles of men in the alehouse. I could smell garlic from a hearty stew brewing from the inn. I could hear several stomachs growl, asking for those pleasantries we were whiffing. I felt sorry for the others in my group, so I called to them. You have the rest of the day to do as you wish. Meet at the west end of the town by tomorrow at dawn. You know the rules. No relations with the village women and no drinking till you're drunk at the alehouse. If I catch you at the brothel, you aren't coming with us. And if you're drunk, tomorrow's hangover won't help us on our trek. I'll make provisions at the inn for you.
You handle men well for a woman.
Are you trying to tell me women can't command a force?
No, I'm just saying you do a remarkable job of maintaining discipline. For a woman to take charge of men who carry their egos on their shoulders, or should I say whose egos carried them, is quite unheard of. I would have thought it was impossible. You've certainly gained my respect.
Well, the men just need guidance.
Yeah, but you're so young.
Like you're much older.
I'm 22. How old are you?
Does it matter?
Well, yes. Yes, I want to know. I can't say I'm not curious. A woman that takes command of a male-driven force is a woman to be reckoned with.
Fine. If you want to know, I'm 19.
19?
Yes. Do you have a problem with that?
No. I just thought you were a little older, that's all. I didn't expect someone, especially not 19, to be leading a group of men, most of which are older than you, trying to find a cure for something that stunted several mages and took my mother. Not to mention risking your life out in a swamp.
The swamp of Sandring doesn't bother me. I know how to cross it. The only thing bothering me presently is your company.
Please don't go.
Let go of me! I will hurt you if I have to, Prince Rowan.
Just hear me out, Leah. I've been out of Faerie for 2 years. Please forgive my manners. Kairi is so different, and I've been on the road with my men for 2 weeks without the company of a lady. I'm sorry I'm not being the politest person, but I have forgotten. I would have thought that you would have been more understanding about my manners since you are around this group of men. I can't help but want to be with you. You intrigue me. I haven't met anyone with your stamina and zest ever in my life. I'm quite jealous of this Siegfried of yours.
Siegfried of mine?
Why, yes, you are courting, aren't you?
And he's only been just a childhood friend.
He seemed awfully jealous when I was complimenting you today, even though I'm sure he didn't hear what I said.
Yes, he was, wasn't he?
Please forgive me for being conceited.
Comes with the job of being prince, doesn't it?
No, I'm like Dashiell. We tried to get out of the common stereotype of royalty. I've just been in Kairi for so long, I tried to represent Faerie being as sophisticated as possible. That also means I tried to be a little stuffy at times. It was hard, but the entourage I was traveling with helped a bit. My father had sent us with a chest laden with truffles.
Truffles? I knew that the mushroom was a delicacy, but why would they send a more tasteful edible food of all things to another country? Rowan answered me as if he read my mind.
My father told the court to save the truffles, so the Kyrens would know how much we treasured the thought of peace between our two countries.
I see.
Speaking of food, would you mind accompanying me for dinner? I would certainly like your presence. Something of a change from the brutes I'm around with. At any rate, I meant what I said earlier. I was surprised to meet a leader. There was a candy to look at.
I suppose you can escort me, as long as you try to be a gentleman.
I'll try.
Try? You've already started. Rowan and I sat across from each other at a little table in the inn. The wood on the table was worn and the varnish was coming off. I'm glad we didn't eat directly on that, not so much because of the lack of repair, but the table hadn't been cleaned in who knows how long. I savored my plate as much as I did the food. There were several pots of the men in my company around, talking to each other and feeding their faces like I was. So, why did you go to Kairi for 2 years?
Why I went to Kairi for 2 years? Well, I'm sure you know about the disputes over there. Well, they started to battle with each other, and Father didn't want it to continue. But he had to oversee the food problems over here, so he thought it would be a good experience for me to go and fix the trouble. Of course I didn't want to go. I knew it would be a long distance to travel, and I would be worn out when I arrived. On top of that, Kairi was just a very strange place to me. But I knew I had to do it, so I went. It was such a relief to return home. As I told my sister, things are just very different than here. For example, they aren't ruled by a king, but by a delegate. Each member is represented and chosen by a council. The council itself includes all the representatives of the villages within the Dom, and then each Dom's council chooses one person to be a representative in the Dominant Delegate. So basically, the Delegate is made up from all the Doms in the kingdom. When I arrived, I was ready for hostility, but when I greeted them, they welcomed me greatly. They didn't want the uprising just as I and my father didn't. I was basically a third-party mediator, and since I didn't have any ties with either sides, I just didn't have any emotion to weaken any resolve. The negotiations were over petty rivalries, mainly due to our traditions that had been trickled over the border area. That is what caused the border war to break out in the first place. The Kyrians were very nice to me, though they put our people in the lowest of regards, since we are a monarchy and they consider that as a primitive government form. Of course, in their opinion, our lack of advancement is due to our state of emergency the kingdom is in. When my man and I arrived there, they offered me a large room in the Dominar Estate. It was very clean, and the walls were painted in bright colors. They do have a love for luxuries, so salt is spaced out to all the guests, and not closer to the leader. Here, father has the salt dish, and it must be passed down to the people of lower importance. When I entered the dining hall, I was quite disorientated. There wasn't one great table, but a very large round one, so there was no one ahead of one another. The very first day I had been put aside some council members, who were in fact peasants, to represent the towns that had been causing mayhem with us. It was quite difficult to maintain a balance through the conversation. I would have rather stayed quiet altogether, but I'm sure they would consider that as rude. Due to the expense of the table, it was quite hard to speak across and be heard. I did find myself relating to a lot of topics about my horse, though. Anyway, afterwards I was given a large bath. It was lovely, to be honest. The room was heated with several fireplaces, and they used some sort of tubes to connect to the bath. The hot air would just flow down the tubes into the bath, and it bubbled with heat, and it was very soothing after a long day's ride. Oh, they have much more technology than we do. So, overall, it was still a wonderful trip. When I get back home after Dashiell is cured, I'll be sure to tell my father about what he can do to make our kingdom more successful. I will also tell about the advantages the Kyrians have right now.
So you discussed matters of state for 2 years?
Yeah, that's right.
That's quite a long time to be sorting out something as simple as a border war.
Well, not exactly. There was this girl that interested me, only she wasn't as fascinating as you. There were plans for marriage even, but I realized I didn't really love her, so I left. I realized it was only lust. And if I'm going to be king one day, I need a woman that can stand by me and think. That one was kind of an idiot.
Oh. Wait a minute.
What? It was true.
Aren't we in Faerûs still?
Oh, yes, right at the border from the Gorlaks and Krekas, and their keep. But why?
Why aren't we eating mushrooms?
Hey, good point. I've been out of Faerûs for too long, I didn't even notice. There's only one answer to the enigma. These people of Mar-Avan are doing something that we don't. I mean, really, either they have some information that's valuable to someone, and they are keeping it. Or they are doing something for someone that is keeping them paid off. If my father knew this, he would put his foot down right away.
Your father isn't here, but we are.
Yes. I think we should find out what's going on. I think we have to find out.
I finished my plate, as did he, and we both left the inn after paying. Rowan headed towards the horse of his. The horse had finished grazing and had wandered to a trough near the inn. The smell of rain was in the air, and the once blue sky was no longer visible through the impenetrable clouds. We should arrange for a place to spend the night first. I don't think making camp is hardly reasonable. That is, unless you like being rained on in the middle of the night. I promised my men that I would see to their living accommodations at the inn. I'll get rooms. Hello, Siegfried.
Hello, Lee. Anything new?
As a matter of fact, yes. This place doesn't serve mushrooms.
Well, that's good to know. I can feed my taste buds for a change instead of just my stomach. In fact, I might actually be growing into a giant taste bud. Everything smells edible.
Always thinking of that. This place is in the Kingdom of Faerus. They should be serving plain mushrooms, but they aren't. Something is amiss here. Rowan and I are going to try and find out what that is. Do you want to help us?
Sure, I guess. Where are you guys starting the investigation?
That is the problem, I don't know. The only thing I can think of, and it's only a theory, is that the Gorlags gave these people food for not speaking about that woman, or maybe even reporting her. Wa-Awin is closest to their keep anyways. I don't know why humans wouldn't defend another human. I wouldn't wish anyone in the care of the Gorlags. Maybe they don't know who she is, and the thought of a variety of food is too much to resist.
Well, it certainly sounds like a good enough theory to me. I think we should check it out.
Sig went up the stairs in the inn, and I went to the innkeeper to get three rooms. One for Rowan, one for my men, and one for me. The innkeeper was very polite, but he held me with a wary eye. I suspect there is more to this town than meets the eye. Pardon the pun. Rowan entered and gestured me up the stairs.
After you, milady.
I walked up the creaky stairs and entered the room I purchased. It was the perfect size, just enough to sleep in without being cramped. I wasn't used to frivolities, so this was just fine for me. There was a bed in one corner, beside the door which faced an open window. I closed the door and sat down on the bed. Rowan found his room and then knocked on my door. Come in.
Ahalia, anything new or any ideas what's going on? The boy in the stable wouldn't talk to me, but I know he knows something. Did you make mention to anything to the innkeeper when you got these rooms?
I told Siegfried that perhaps the Gorlags gave these people food for not speaking about that woman. I think they could have even given the woman back to them. It's a plausible theory. The innkeeper looked at me strangely. I don't know if he knows that I lead the men, but if he does, he is probably wondering what a large number is doing in this town. There were too many people in the inn that I didn't know, so I didn't ask him anything. But I do think something is up, and I think it's originating from this place.
Yeah, it sounds like a good theory. I don't know how we are going to investigate this, but we should be very cautious. As I said, and as you can tell, Wa-Awin has a sizable armed force. I wouldn't want to anger them, and if you're right about them, then we may be laid to waste at the hands of the Gorlags.
It's too early to tell about anything. I think we should spend a couple of days here to find out what these people are up to, whether they like it or not. Your father wouldn't like people to be disloyal, I am sure. It would probably break Dashiell's heart to hear of something like this.
Yes, she had a tendency to get very emotional. Hey, you know, you almost glow at night.
Glow?
Yes, there's an aura about you. Your face just shines like the sun. Most people look worse as the day increases, and they get more tired, but you look better.
I think you've had one too many pitchers of cider. Maybe you should go to bed.
No, I'm serious. But you're right about one thing. I should go to bed. We are going to have a busy couple of days after all. Alrighty then, I'll just leave you alone so you can fill the room with your beauty.
Normal princes wouldn't flirt with the likes of someone such as I. However, he really wasn't like any ordinary prince. He also was the first I ever talked to. I rolled my eyes when he shut the door. I uttered one word to say it all. Men.
For other cast and credits, please visit www.ladyfromday.com. That's www.ladyfromday.com. Join us next time for the continuing story of Lady from Day.